Okay, no wonder you said that.
Yes.
Honorable Mr. Whitaker, one is what we can do here, hearing, sir, so this all adds to the fun.
Mr. Johnson, before you walked in, I was asking if we could get you next in line, because you have a supporter in the room here today. But let's get this started. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Jacob M. Johnson, 163-421.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
Good morning.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the four alleged violations listed on the warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you, well, it's my understanding you signed that form. Did you assign a form notifying you this hearing?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you. Are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. You can see on your video conference screen in the room, we have, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working toward me. We have the Alderman, Mr. Michael Johnson. The Alderman is Gil Rittenhouse. Our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. The Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Luis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Turner, and he will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, Mr. Johnson, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Johnson and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
And I kind of missed an opportunity here, but as a formality, do you plan on speaking before the board today?
Yes, I do.
Can you state your name?
Jennifer Rexroad.
Jennifer?
Rexroad.
Rexroad. Ms. Rexroad, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
Okay, thank you. That solves a future problem later in the hearing. Mr. Johnson, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. And keep in mind there's a separate motion that passes this hearing from phase one to phase two. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and we'll have a quick talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. I'll begin phase one of this hearing by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal ways of company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about January 22, 2019, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated February 6, 2019. Mr. Johnson, is this true or false?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about January 24th, 2019, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated February 6, 2019. Mr. Johnson, is this true or false?
Sure.
Thank you. Allegation number three, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about January 25th, 2018, for the task lab report dated, January 26, 2018. Mr. Johnson, is this true or false?
Sure.
And finally, allegation number four, violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report him for a face-to-face contact visit on or about January 31st, 2019, as verbally directed on January 24th, 2019. Mr. Johnson, is this true or false?
Sure.
Thank you. I will now make a motion to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. One second to check a few boxes. And that is based on Mr. Johnson's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by the Honorable Dr. Wright, agreed upon by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Ms. Gill-Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Johnson, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by, as our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Turner, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Turner, if you will.
Yes, sir. Johnson was released from ADC custody on 4/27/2018 and arrested on 2/6/2019 by ADC on a tech violation. No new charges are noted. He had returned back to ADC custody on 2/6/2019 with a CSED of 3/26/2020, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2006, child/adult abuse, 12 years. Prior convictions, 1999, marijuana violation, 6 months. 2000, marijuana violation, 6 months. 2004, marijuana violation, 9 months. This is his third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2.2. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. There is no STG information noted. Prior terms on supervision, 2002, TIS release, absconded for 61 days, arrested, reached CSED in custody. 2005, TIS release, completed, 4 months. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with drugs, promoting contraband, and disorderly conduct noted. After his return to custody, he received 2 major disciplinaries, one for disobeying an order and the other for refusal to submit a UA. Those are both still pending. Other arrests, 1994, assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1994, criminal trespassing, first degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 1994, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 1994, unlawful use means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation. 1994, miscellaneous felony or misdemeanor, Arizona juvenile detention. 2006, child/adult abuse, Arizona felony conviction, probation. Has a GB score of G5, V5.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Mr. Johnson, I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections and approved to reside at 1348 South Avenida Polar, or Polar, Unit K201 in Tucson. On September 21st, 2018, you were approved to reside at the Maricopa Reentry Center in Tucson. And then you were approved to reside at 2668 North 73rd Glen in Phoenix, Arizona. So was the last address on 73rd Glen where you lived before you were arrested on this warrant?
Yes, that's where I was arrested.
Thank you. With employment notes that you were able to obtain employment at Automotive Unlimited in Vail. In July of 2018, you obtained employment with Midas in Tucson, and in January 2019, you gained employment with Half Price Auto Repair in Phoenix. So we certainly commend you for working while you're on community supervision. Sounds like you may have some mechanical skills, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Are you a specialist of any kind?
Light-duty mechanic.
And did you work all the way up until the time you were violated?
Yes, sir.
We have programming notes that you referred to task for drug screening. You were assigned the task clinical program. And we have a long list of tests here. It looks like that in May 15th of 2018, you failed to submit. May 21st, positive for alcohol. July 26th and September 10th, failed to submit. September 11th, positive for alcohol. September 13th, positive for alcohol. September 21st, you reported to the Pima Reentry Center. It looks like that you had a blood alcohol content at that time. On December 27, 2018, a diluted urine sample. You had a failed to submit on January 22, 2019. January 24, 2019, you failed to submit a UA per your parole officer's directive. And then on January 25, 2019, you were positive for alcohol. You were placed into the MEP program at PRC for the use of alcohol. You completed the programming, on June 22nd, 2018. On June 28th, you were sanctioned PRC for sanctions due to violating curfew. This is your second home violation curfew. On September 7, 2018, you were sanctioned PRC for the 90-day ITH program. And again, as stated, you reported, it seemed like that there was alcohol in your bloodstream at that time. You completed the program recently, December 23rd, 2018. On May 23rd, 2018, there's some more notes here. You're placed in MEP at PRC. And I think these are some previous notes that I may have already gone over. But in summary, it looks like that you had some ongoing issues with alcohol. So where are you at these days with your alcohol use, Mr. Johnson? Traditionally, people give long statements at the end of the hearing, at the final statement portion. I'm not cutting you off from giving that statement, but it might be a little early. So certainly you can give that statement before we end this hearing. But
I obviously, as the report that you just read, I have a problem with drinking. I need treatment, long-term treatment, not 30 days or 90 days. So as you stated, all the other stuff, I basically comply with everything except for the drinking.
Well, Mr. Johnson, it's going to be hard to tell where you're at in your heart and mind. It's almost like a softball of a question asking you this, but because it's easy just to say what you think we want to hear, but are you really ready to put this behind you? Because an alcohol addiction can be bad as any drug addiction, maybe harder in some cases. Some people have a real hard time getting off of alcohol. And I am certainly not stating that you do not have the capacity to clean up and move on with your life, but are you really ready to put this behind you? Because it can be a revolving door. Rehab. And people have to really firmly make up their mind that they're going to march forward with this. We understand that there are setbacks, but based on your past history during this last period of community supervision, it seemed like that you had quite a few slip-ups. So where are you at mentally?
Mentally and emotionally, I'm 1,000% ready to try to battle this. I need treatment, like I said. I don't want to be a drunk. I don't want to... I need some coping skills, other than that. So this is not the life that I want, coming in and out of the system or any of that. I need some help.
Well, sir, this isn't a parole hearing, and we're not here to scrutinize your last conviction, but did that offense have to do with being under the influence of alcohol?
No, sir.
Okay. Also, you were arrested on... One second. Do we turn to that?
Thank you.
that you were arrested in January 2019 or February?
February 6th.
Okay. So have you been able to stay clean since you were arrested?
Yes, sir.
So, again, I mean, we can both do the math here, but how many weeks or months have you been free from alcohol?
Approximately 3 weeks, I believe, before I got arrested. So, maybe a couple months, roughly.
Okay, so you're clean right now.
Yes, sir.
Did you have to go through a period of detox when you returned to the Department of Corrections, sir?
No, sir.
We recognize that drugs and alcohol continue to be available as contraband inside the Department of Corrections, so are you struggling with the availability of alcohol and drugs inside the Department of Corrections?
Well, it is everywhere, as you're aware, and I luckily am in a quote-unquote sober run, so I mean, I'm around some kind of decent guys, but I just kind of stick to myself and don't get involved. I'm really just trying to go back out into society and get the help that I need. It's not here, so.
Well, tell me something, Mr. Johnson. If you're staying clean now and it's available to you, what is the temptation with using alcohol when you're in the community, when you have your freedom, which I'm sure you covet?
I really don't. It's just, I can't really give you a definitive explanation. It's just, I've become complacent. And I think I can get away with it, or I rationalize or minimize the, you know, the old addict behavior, and then I get that focus on that, and then that's already, the choice is already made at that point, you know. It's that's why I said I need some treatment. I don't want to be an alcoholic or a drunk for my life. I'm almost 40 years old, and I need to have an opportunity to have a wonderful life without that woman that's standing in front of you guys, and I'm not going to squander that by being selfish and only thinking of myself.
Well, regardless of how this board votes today, I hope you don't squander that relationship one way or the other, and we certainly hope for the best for you. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I don't have any questions from fellow board members. Mr. Johnson, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement? Oh, no, no, sorry. I got on a fast track here, ma'am. I'm sorry, this is the point where I would ask if you want to approach the board and offer any information so you can come to the podium and state your name when you get to the podium.
My anti-rambling curves. My name is Jennifer Rexrode. I also have a letter from his mom. Can I give that to somebody?
Yes, just so long as you understand that when you give us the letter that it's going to stay into the original file. Thank you very much.
Okay. My name is Jennifer Rexrode. Sorry if I get a little choked up. But I'm actually here on behalf of the man I know that he, Jacob Johnson, can become. I've known him for a little bit more than 30 years. We were childhood sweethearts, and then we got separated for a while, and he found me again a little over a year ago. That's when, in that interim time, that's when he basically spent the bulk of his time under your custody, the Department of Corrections, based on his choices. Part of me is very thankful for that, because I think that the young Jacob Johnson would probably have died from his addiction and choices that he would have made. So thank you for at least keeping him away from lot more opportunity to do that. At this point, though, he has spent the last 10 years getting rehabilitation and correction, and I don't think that your department has any more resources that can help him with what he struggles with. I have spoken with the intake coordinator of a program called Crossroads. His name is Mr. Joe Peterson, and he has agreed to provide a bed and treatment for a 3-month minimum following an intake assessment. I've also spoken with Mr. Joe Bernazzani. He's the benefits coordinator at Scottsdale Recovery Center, and he's agreed to be his sponsor. Between these two fine men, they have 15 years of sobriety, and helping people re-enter society. Jake is not a danger to society. His addictive choices make him the victim. And because of this, he needs care and counseling and a live-in therapeutic rehab center. He doesn't have the tools to deal with alcohol being on the radio and alcohol being at every corner store. And so easily, it's in almost every social setting that we do as people that aren't monitored. I have been able to see brief glimpses of the sober man that he is. He has a sweet soul, and he is a hard worker with integrity, which is rare. He immediately went out and looked for work because he cannot be a freeloader. And I just ask that you use your discretion to allow him to enter a treatment program that can give him the tools and the teachings to be successful. You only have him for 1 more year. Keep him. He has 10 years of probation when he's out. So even if he gets out, if he doesn't get this and he doesn't get the tools, he's going to catch a new case and come back. So we need to care for him, not punish him. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions from fellow board members? Thank you for appearing before the board. Okay, Mr. Johnson, I was starting to get ahead of myself, but we're getting very close to the end of the hearing. Did you have a final statement that you would like to make before this board, before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but again, this is your hearing. I think you mentioned having a statement, so now would be the time.
Yeah, I'll try not to repeat myself, but it's basically the same thing that she said. Please allow me the opportunity to seek the treatment that I need and go to Crossroads. As you can see from my parole report, I need help, not confinement and warehousing in DOC. There is no rehabilitation or programs that can benefit me and my loved ones. In fact, the opposite. There is more alcohol and drugs here that I cannot get away from and on the streets. I have a strong support system and a plan that I believe will benefit my loved ones and myself. Long-term treatment is what I need. I wasn't using drugs, I didn't abscond, and I was at no time engaged in criminal behavior. I held a job, made parole fee payments, and complied with all conditions except for drinking. I'm an alcoholic and need treatment and to learn some new coping skills. Please reinstate my parole and allow me to go into long-term residential program. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Before we go into discussion, I want to say a couple of things. And it's certainly not the last word because I don't make decisions for the whole board. We vote. And oftentimes, the best decision comes out in the wash. But I did want to ask, I mean, you were put into PRC, if I'm not correct. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Why wasn't that effective for you?
It was effective for a while after I got out, but they only have so much resources there, and they only really scratch the surface of the problem of why you're drinking or why you're using drugs or whatever it is that you're having a problem with. And it's a great program, don't get me wrong, but like I said, it just long term. Like I said, it worked for a little while, and then it kind of just wore off. I need some longer, you know, 90 days isn't very long. I need 6, 9 months, a year long program where I can get some stuff more, break down the strongholds and stuff that are in my mind, and learn some new skills and ways to deal with everyday life instead of reverting back to old negative behaviors.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And I do want to remind you before we go into discussion, this board does not have control over the types of programs that are available to you while you're under community supervision. This is not to say that you would be denied programs. I'm just saying that it's very good that options were researched, and they may very well be available to you, but we do not have control of that as a board, just so that you know, okay? The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. So board members, what I'm weighing right now is behavior under community supervision for a fairly long amount of time versus Mr. Johnson's readiness to really turn the corner on his life and stay clean. And I believe he has the capacity to do that, and I want to encourage that. But regarding returning to community supervision, I'm on the fence. I will say in the open that he has over a year left on his prison sentence, and his issues are greatly related to alcohol. He was productive. He submitted to the programs. It seems like that he's got a real demon with his drinking. So I'm not close-minded to the possibility of returning him to community supervision, but again, I'm weighing that against his behavior and safety issues for the public, and that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, go ahead, Ms. Gilbert.
Mr. Quinones, it just seems like his parole officer really worked with him, and it just didn't work, including the treatment, and I'm not seeing he'll be able to comply under the same, putting him back in the same circumstance again.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I'm inclined to see it that way, and I'm looking for options here, but I can't help but notice that he had such a bad history in dealing with the issue, and that his parole officer was really working with him. Yes, so the Honorable Mr. Johnson.
I agree with Ms. Rittenhouse. I just didn't hear from him. I heard him say that he needed, you know, long-term treatment, 60 days, I mean 6 months, a year program that he needs treatment, but I really didn't hear anything from him that said what his commitment to getting off of it, and whether he gets a 60-day, 1 year program, he has to first really come to a conclusion within himself that he want to make that change, and I'm just not hearing that. I'm not hearing his PO did work with him, they did put him in programs and he did come, but then, you know, he had an excuse, so now the excuse is that the program wasn't long enough, but he has to make that commitment for himself in order to be got in any program he gets into.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Let me further input from my colleagues.
Okay.
Okay. Then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to this board in Board Number 2019-W0365, a discussion with Mr. Johnson, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Johnson was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a couple of years with company, inasmuch that he did not adhere to his conditions of community supervision, lapsing into alcohol use more than once, and failed to follow the directives of his parole officer, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, reappointed by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Johnson, we take no pleasure in these types of decisions, and we did weigh it out, but we're just not finding a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision based on the way events unfolded for the time that you were in the community. I so strongly encourage you to stay clean, to pursue any programs that are available to you inside the Department of Corrections, to include attending AA, and to put together a plan for return to the community. Sounds like you have support out here, someone who cares about you, and I think that overall the possibility for success in your life is great, but you're going to have to commit to truly turning the corner. We do want to see you succeed, and we are glad that you have the capacity to be productive. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion will take place, and thank you for appearing before the board today, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.